G-minus 64, Ford McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. No one spoke or even consciously sent any telepathic thoughts Leisha's way, but it didn't take any special powers of understanding to read the concern and anticipation on their faces. "As I said," the alien said to Dan, "I alerted you to the gate as soon as possible, as soon as we found it. I wanted to make sure you knew before you decided how to publicly conduct yourself at the ICA today. But if I had been able to deliver the news while you and Tara were here in Birchwood with everyone else, then I would most certainly have done so."
"I know," Dan said. "But what else did you find?"
"Well, in recent days we have discovered other things that our council, including myself, thought it was better to assess ourselves before bringing to you. On New Kerguelen right now, there is a growing feeling among some that we should seek self-sufficiency to ensure we never again become dependent on another race. The vast majority still sees humanity as a force for positive change, however, and there remains an almost religious worship of you and Terra in particular within the former members of some castes. The official caste system itself has crumbled, with no tears being shed, and that transition alone is a tremendous source of instability. But I digress."
"Yeah," Clark chimed in. "I mean, no disrespect, Leisha, but just say what you're saying, man. Godfrey is going to be speaking in a few minutes, and I really want to hear this first." Everyone looked at the projector screen to see if Clark could really be right. If that much time had passed since Leisha arrived at Dan and Tara's side, and indeed he was. "Hold on," Dan said, scratching his chin in thought. "Leisha, you came to us with the gate news so I would know it before I spoke today, right? Is there any part of you that thinks Godfrey should know it before he speaks? Was it different because he doesn't know anything at all about what we found in the outpost, about the architect's deception and all that stuff?"
"Precisely," Leisha nodded. "He doesn't know most of the story, and you have had sufficient chances to tell him, but have consistently chosen not to. If he already knew as much as you, I would have lobbied with you to tell him this part too, but I would never go directly to him. Human affairs are human affairs, and you are our point of contact."
Dan appreciated these words greatly. "Thank you. So, about what else you found?"
"We have discovered some colossal transcripts on New Kerguelen," Leisha said, "visible only from above, during the first flyovers of the Great Shelter and the outpost we have ever conducted. Before we looked upwards and discovered the gate, we looked down and saw transcripts in several areas. Two were static, effectively what you might think of as signposts or road signs, designed to inform future visitors of what they were gazing down upon. Structures were marked, annotated, if you will, with short descriptions of their purpose. With this kind of static transcript, it is like looking at a still image or a piece of writing. That's not an exact analogy, as you could perhaps explain to the others better than I can, Dan, but it makes the point. In any case, the outpost was marked as an observation outpost, and our great shelter was described as a containment pen. To rub salt in our wounds while we surveyed the planet that has been kept from us for so long, we learned that we truly were livestock in their eyes."
"Jesus," Clark sighed. It had been a containment pen, and everyone already knew it, but to have the architects outright mark it as such was hard to swallow, particularly with a transcript making that point etched onto the external surface of the planet that had been kept from the messengers in a cruelly ironic twist of the knife. Dan shook his head, sharing Clark's pain for their alien friends.
"You said two transcripts were static?" Emma chimed in. "Not that you found two static transcripts, correct? That must mean there was at least one non-static transcript, or you wouldn't have phrased it like that. So what did you find? More of the kind Dan and Billy saw inside the outpost? The ones that bring a flood of information into your brain when you look at them?"
"We discovered another such transcript above New Birchwood," Leisha confirmed. "Like the other transcripts, both those on the surface and within the outpost, it was left for the benefit of future visitors,
presumably in the event of a loss of radio contact with their home or something of that nature. In any case, the information conveyed the importance of ensuring that even if developments on New Kerguelen for some reason led to a situation where our kind had to leave the great shelter, under no circumstances was a dome to be placed over New Birchwood, with it being used as a contained area. For whatever reason, they would have seen it as not just preferable, but imperatively so for an entirely new shelter to be constructed, even when an area with ready-built dwellings capable of housing a population many times our current number was already in place. Probably because New Birchwood is full of history, Emma said. I mean, I guess they could have cleaned it up first and just left empty buildings, but is that really less effort than building a new shelter?
New Birchwood has to be full of history, Dan chimed in. Its very existence would have blown their story up, no two ways about it. Leisha, maybe that transcript was there because there are buildings in New Birchwood that contain records of your pre-contact civilization, records that would have flown in the face of all the lies the architects were feeding you. This is even more reason for us to study that city for what it is, the greatest archaeological find of all time.
Tara nodded in full agreement. And Leisha, when do you think everyone is going to start moving back there? That is what'll happen, right? I can't imagine that you guys want to stay in the shelter now that you know the world outside is safe and that a huge city built by your ancestors is just waiting for you all to move back in.
The exodus has already begun, Leisha said. It began a full 2 weeks ago. As you suggest, no one wishes to remain in the great shelter now that the truth behind its creation is known. Many have already taken up dwellings in the city of New Birchwood, and more are following them every day.
So you're calling it New Birchwood too? She followed up. Am I just hearing words that I can understand here, or are you actually calling it that? Doesn't it have an old name?
Our history has been lost, Leisha sighed. Or to be more accurate, our history was stolen from us. Whatever our forefathers of old called the settlement, the name was stolen along with everything else.
And people just started moving back in without anyone wanting to do much exploration or analysis of what was already there? Dan asked. That seems kind of risky. You could be unknowingly destroying important pieces of your history that could fill in some blanks about the time before the architects. We could have helped with that, like sweeping it for artifacts and stuff like that. It wouldn't have taken long.
Leisha took a few seconds longer than normal to formulate a reply.
Dan, the Great Shelter is a constant reminder of the deception we endured and the foolishness with which countless generations of our entire species, including my generation, fell for it all, century after century, millennia after millennia. Once our council revealed the full truth to everyone in a vast announcement, including the rediscovery of New Birchwood, no one could leave fast enough. The lure of the outside world is strong in and of itself, pulling our people outwards, but the stench of deceit that permeates the shelter has done much to push them out all the faster.
Tiger crap, Clark said. That place really does have to be teeming with it. But guys, 1 minute until Godfrey time. In fact, hold up, there he is, coming to the podium.